marriage in are they leading to the mantra that was discussed before, where they said manayeva manushyana karana pantamoksha? It's all in the mind. That's where the entire difference is between the person with faith and person who doesn't care how.
That is true. That is very true. But it is much deeper than that. This logical question, what is it? If God created both, then the first question is, why did God create evil? And evil comes to us in two forms, in an objective form or through the instrumentality of a person. If another person is giving me trouble, the evil means what? Unhappiness, suffering comes through the medium of that person. Okay?
Okay.
When there is earthquake or things like that, ativrishti, anavrishti, too much of rain and insufficient rain, etc. That is another way.
Yes.
So, if God is so great, why did he create the good and the evil, the deva and asura? That is an implied question. But the most interesting question is, where is the need for spiritual life? Without spiritual life, if everything is Brahman, I am Brahman whether I know it or not. Now, what is making me non-Brahman? My life.
Yeah.
When the life comes to an end, I do not exist. Then, where do I have to go back into my cause? The whole question is, where is the need for me to practice spiritual disciplines? That is the question.
Sure.
But here also, two types of people, just now I mentioned. Recklessly, selfishly, cruelly, some people live. But there are so many people, they say we don't believe in God. But it doesn't mean they are leading a demonic life.
Yeah.
So, they are not specifically practicing any spiritual practices. What will happen to them? So, these are the very thoughtful questions we will have to question ourselves, and we have to believe what the scripture is telling. You know, what is the scripture telling? Everything is Brahman, there is no doubt. So, a person who thinks, I am a spiritual person, then he understands I am Brahman quickly. And a person who thinks, I don't believe in God, he will reach Brahman a little bit later. That is all the difference that have. In the end, everybody realizes that. And time is of the mind. Do you think in your deep sleep, I am a spiritual person, I will reach God in this life, but the other fellow is a scoundrel, he will suffer, and after a billion births, are you going to think about it?
No.
Therefore, all these questions are there to make us spiritual, yearn for God realization. That is the problem. It is not going to change a non-believing person into a believing person. Okay?
Yes.
It is meant for whom?
For striving.
Because a non-believing person will not even attend my Taittiriya class.
Yeah.
The question doesn't arise in his mind, isn't it?
Yes, Father.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
What else, Bhagavan?
Okay, Daniel.
So I have a question related to things that have popped up in this class and some previous things in classes. Am I right in thinking about conception as both a microscopic and a macrocosmic event, in the sense that we have the union between Shiva and Shakti resulting in a new incarnate Jiva, and somehow I feel like I'm connecting the water element giving course to the earth element here. And in addition, this process means the connection of a Jiva into the Hiranyagarbha.
Uh-huh.
And this is, does this make any sense? Or am I mistaken something here?
That is exactly the details of the process, how slowly a jiva evolves. Evolution means two things you have to understand. The physical instrument also evolves, which scientists identify as the capacity of intelligence. In each higher species, the intelligence is much higher than the lower species of its own lower birth, previous birth. That is called evolution. So, the physical instrument is also improving, of which human body is the peak. The intelligence also is evolving, the peak of which is human capacity to discriminate, or in psychologist language it is called the ability to objectify oneself. We do not know whether animals have got the capacity to self-objectify. Am I behaving properly? Is there any better way of behaving properly? Okay, so this is how Shiva and Shakti evolve. You understand clearly? Body and mind evolve.
Yes.
So Shiva is called slowly, with the evolution of intelligence, the reflection of Brahman or consciousness also becomes more and better.
Yes.
So the mind is comparable, just for understanding it properly. Imagine there is a mirror which is full of dirt.
Yep.
An insect, somehow it cleans a teeny weeny bit of that mirror. Then the consciousness becomes reflected. First, it identifies itself as I am. I am an insect. It may not tell in human language, I am a mosquito. When you put out your hand to kill a mosquito, it runs away, isn't it?
Yes.
In that process, there are two elements are there. First, I am a mosquito. I am, that is first. Second is, in comparison with you, I am very vulnerable, destroyable object. I want to live, protect myself. So first is identification as I am, that is the first reflection of consciousness. Second, it also extends this identification to its body and mind, which is called identity. Both processes go together. Okay?
Yeah.
So, that which is reflected is called Shiva. And that onto which it is reflected, first in the mind and later on extended to the physical mechanism, that is called Shakti. That is called Shakti. This is called Shiva Shakti Union. And it applies to entire created world, including a rock.
Yeah.
What is a rock? Where Shakti is more manifest than Shiva. So, that is called inorganic. And according to science, logic, this inorganic, in course of time, starts manifesting more of consciousness, Shiva. That is called organic. The moment it starts reflecting Shiva, it is called Shiva. Then it starts evolving. In the highest human being, not even as a human being, but highly evolved, where the sattva guna is predominant, such a person becomes more spiritual. So, this is the evolution of creation. This is the essence of the creation. From the beginning, Brahman, as it were, splits himself into Shiva and Shakti, because you used those words, I am using those words.
Yeah.
First Shakti, evolution of Shakti, then that is called non-living, inorganic. Then slowly it starts teeny weeny bit of consciousness, that is called organic.
Yeah.
So that is how evolution starts. So this is tantric way of saying what we are saying, Vedantic way, Brahman and creation. So Tantra is telling, using the same words, Shiva and Shakti. The essence is exactly the same. Did I answer your question?
Yes. And so in here you mentioned reflection. Am I right in thinking that reflection itself is the buddhi, and what makes it unsteady is manas? And the hamkara obviously is the identification.
No,
with
you have to be clear. Buddhi, yeah. When the consciousness becomes reflected,
yeah.
Then it reflects in various degrees. So when it starts reflecting in the form of reflection, our capacity to reflect,
yeah.
That is called mind. When the consciousness manifests in the form of memory, that is called chitta.
Yeah.
When we ascertain, this is what I know for definite, without any doubt, that is called buddhi.
Mm.
And behind these three, behind the thinking, behind the memory, and behind the decision, what identifies with these three is called egotism. So, buddhi is not the reflection. Mind is that mind material, or subtle body is the material. Subtle body is the mirror. When consciousness reflects in three different ways, it gets three different names. Thinking, memorizing, memory, and decision.
This is what we need to get. We need them to all go hand in hand, you know, and become sattvic.
Correct. The more sattvic we become, the more will be the reflection, the nearer will be the truth.
Yeah,
tamoguna means very far away, rajoguna means middle way, sattvaguna means we are approaching the truth nearer and nearer. This is how Vedanta wants us to understand.
Yeah, and my last question, if I'm not pushing it too much, my understanding is that, is it right to think that Shakti comes down as part of conception and eventually resides in Muladhara, and our spiritual struggle for liberation is the reversal back up again?
Correct. You are correct. So, but it is tantric language. That's why you should have the ability to reconcile it with Advaitic terminology.
Yes.
Then there would be no conflict. Otherwise, you interchange these words from another angle and it is like quarreling. This is not water, this is jala. It will be creating conflict.
How would I explain that in Vedantic terms? Sometimes I think tantric just seems very easy, intuitive in some ways. But how would I phrase what I just said in Vedantic terms?
That is why stick to Advaita. Don't go and get confused unnecessarily.
Okay.
So if you follow one path, the conflict will not come. Once you advance in this path, then you will be able to reconcile. The same truth is being said in different language. That means a different type of words. So there is really no conflict there. For example, Buddhists use the word shunya. And Vedanta tells what Buddhists call shunya is what we call Brahman. But in the beginning it is very difficult. Why is it called shunyam? Because that which cannot be described is, we have to, any object that you want to describe, some describable terms are there. Name, form, species, action, etc. When Brahman is beyond all these things, you come to know that there is no such thing as Brahman. And that is called shunyam. That is what Buddhism. Shunyam doesn't mean emptiness. Shunya means indescribable. But unless we go deep into Buddhism, we will be just floating on the superficial terms, all this confusion will arise. Once you go deep into any system, you go into as many systems as you want. The deeper you go, the more unity you get in every system. You see the problem?
If I can see the unity in the different systems, isn't that a good thing though?
Where is the need if you have tremendous time?
Yes, I see. Yeah.
Then you go. You don't have time even for one to delve into even one system. Then is it not a waste of time?
Yes.
That is what exactly in English language is said, you know. Jack of all trades, master of... If I can, with my limited time, limited buddhi, limited capacity, if I can somehow progress, then afterwards, if there is a time, I will see. Then I can do whatever I like. Okay?
Yeah. So it's gratis, but I should be trying to look at in relationship to this from a Vedantic point of view.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you so much for this.
All right.
Pranam Maharaj.
Okay.
So Maharaj, I have a question from the last book. So there's a chapter in which Thakur is talking to Pandit Shashadhar.
Yeah.
And he's giving him advice, and the Pandit asks, does God listen to our prayers?
Yeah.
And the master then says, God is the Kalpataru.
Correct.
And you will certainly get whatever you ask of him, but you must pray standing near the Kalpataru. Only
correct.
Then will your prayer be fulfilled.
Correct.
And he repeats that within the next paragraph. So what I really wanted to understand was, what is this, the
standing,
inner meaning of this?
Standing near the Kalpataru.
Yes.
100% faith that God exists. He is my, loves me more than my mother and father. I have that faith, that is called. Now you understand?
Yes.
If I am doubting Kalpataru itself, how can it fulfill? There is a funny story, you know. Two people were walking in a forest. One was a believer in Mother Kali, other was a non-believer. As they were traveling, they came upon a dilapidated small place where Mother Kali's small image is there. And it is full of bushes and thorns and nobody can enter inside. One can enter, but with difficulty. So the non-believer looked at it, spat at the mother's image and walked on. And the believer, he also saw. So he stopped, turned towards the mother, bent himself and made said namaskaram like this. Then you know what happened? Mother stretched her hand and slapped him. Is this the way to salute me? So this fellow, he said, pardon me, mother. The other fellow who went before me, he spat at you and you didn't do anything to him. At least I believed in you. I made it to namaskaram at least from this distance. Why did you slap me? Mother said, what can I do? He doesn't believe I exist. So a non-existent Kali, how can she slap anybody? So first of all, we have to have that faith. God exists. He is my creator, my father, my mother. He is tvameva matacha, pita tvameva, etc. And then, as a child, I can make my demands. That is what Thakur is telling. Definitely, God listens to our prayers. But we must have that faith. Half-hearted. Otherwise, do you think if I don't believe in God, my prayer will be very sincere prayer? People are telling, I will take a lottery ticket chance. That kind of thing is not going to, even lottery ticket will not work that.
Yeah.
Somebody, a believer, he said, I want to win. So many times he bought lottery ticket. He was not winning. But somebody whom he knew, so he was not that strong believer. He won the lottery. So this fellow questioned God. I am a better believer because I am visiting your temples, I am chanting your name, the other fellow doesn't do. What is the explanation? Then, you know, God replied, you see, he had spent 1 lakh of rupees in helping other people. He is getting back his 1 lakh of rupees with compound interest.
Wow.
You have not given anything, even a single paisa to anybody. And you want to get 1 lakh of rupees, karma phala. This is the truth. And that is what Sri Ramakrishna is also telling in this statement. So if you, that today's talk is a most marvelous subject. If you really believe in God, your whole life will be transformed. And if it is not transformed, but you are going on saying, I believe in God, that is not a complete faith. That is a point we have to keep in mind.
Thank you, Maharaj.
All right.
Maharaj, I have a question. It's about Prarabdha Karma, Maharaj.
Yeah.
So there are events in life which happen, and then there is another thing called interpretation of the events. And then according to our perception, we have corresponding feelings. So events, thoughts and feelings. And according to Prarabdha Karma, we say that even the happiness and unhappiness, which are feelings, they are the result of Prarabdha Karma.
Correct.
So we don't have any control over the events that take place, but we can slowly try changing our perception and thereby the feelings.
Correct.
So we are actually trying to change the course of Prarabdha Karma through spiritual practice.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.